Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, podcast audience? This is your podcaster, Kenny Hodge. And on tonight's show, we're kicking off a new series. I'm going to call it Sick Call. If you're military, you know what I'm talking about. But I'm going to call a sick call, and every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., I'm going to go live with members from federal injury centers. Again, they are the subject matter experts when we talk about Department of Labor and FICA and Office of Workmen's Compensation. Tonight, instead of having the Dream Team, Jeannie and Chris, Michael Jordan couldn't make it, so he sent LeBron James. Tonight, we got the manager, Tom, with us tonight. He manages the office in the Columbus area. Hey, how you doing tonight, Tom?
Good. Thank you very much for having me on.
I'm sorry. Say it again, please.
Oh, I said I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's always a pleasure to have you on again, because you represent federal injury centers. And if anybody knows anything about injury compensation, I want my podcast audience to know that we have the subject matter experts with us tonight. Tonight, what I want to start the show off by addressing the podcast audience. Last week, about 2 weeks ago, I did a show, and I explained to you that the Department of Labor is making it easier for you to file CA-1s for COVID-related or contracting COVID if you are a federal or postal employee. Now, I got to tell you that the information was put out so plainly that it made me nervous when I hear some of the comments coming back, or I read some of the comments on Facebook, just not believing it. They are so used to a CA-1 being for a traumatic injury that they won't understand or allow themselves to understand that the Department of Labor has changed the guidelines. They've modified it a bit, again, as a direct result of the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021. Now, part of that act included emergency federal employees leave, but when that dried up, for some reason, people thought the whole act was gone away. No, the EFEL was just a portion of the rescue plan. But because of the rescue plan, President Biden signed into law March 11th, 2021, it makes it easier for federal workers diagnosed with COVID to establish coverage under the Federal Employees Compensation Act, FICA. Now, when you receive or hear information like this, I know sometimes you might think it sounds too good to be true. This is why I direct you to the Department of Labor's website. And let me tell you, you kind of had me questioning myself just for a second, because the information that I originally delivered to you was received at work. So what I did, and what I recommend you would do, is go to the Department of Labor's website. Now, if I'm putting that information out to you here, I'm giving you the reference, Department of Labor website, under the FICA amendments. I'm sorry, under the claims under the Federal Employees Compensation Act. If I'm giving you this information, please verify it. And if you verify it, you're going to be in a position to tell those who want to say to you that that's not how it works, that that's exactly how it works. Now, tonight with Tom, I want to talk about the eComp process, and eComp being the Department of Labor's website. And I know we've discussed it before, but because of all of the hesitant followers I want to drive that point home again. And Tom, would you jump right in and explain eComp again, please?
Absolutely, Kenny. So eComp is the electronic filing system that the government uses to file your claims, file your CA-1, file your CA-2 occupational disease claim, and even file your CA-7 series forms for getting compensated for your injuries. Okay, it's a very easy sign-up process, though it does ask you questions specifically about yourself. So you do have to register. It's a quick process. They do ask you specific questions about you so that they can make sure they're talking to the right person, they're authorizing the right account. But it's a very easy process. In fact, it's my favorite process. And the reason for that is when you go and hand your supervisor a CA-1 form, now they have to do their part. They have to fill out page 2, get it over to Human Resources, then Human Resources gets it over to OWCP for processing. When you use eComp, that whole thing still happens, except it goes to OWCP first. Then an email gets sent out directly to the supervisor to have them fill out page 2 and do all of the agency work. So not only is it a faster process, but if you're intimidated by your supervisor and you don't want to go face-to-face with them, you can just simply tell them, I'm filing a CA-1 on eComp. Look out for the email saying that you have to fill out page 2. And that's it. It's super easy, quick, and effective.
And one of the things that federal employees probably run into is, for some reason, when you give that form to your supervisor, it always grows legs. It just disappears. And you would think that if I'm turning in a CA-1 to my supervisor, that's an important form. Somebody just got hurt. There's an occupational injury that just took place. And if you work for the post office, you know those forms sit around the office a lot longer than they should before they're actually processed. And one of the reasons for that is you're not aware that they have 10 days to get that form to the Department of Labor. But when you go through eComp, that, just like Tom was saying, that cuts all that out. Because when you fill your form out on eComp and then the Department of Labor sends it to the supervisor, I'll tell you today and I'll tell you again tomorrow, while that supervisor or manager, through lack of knowledge or just lack of motivation, attempts to blow you off, pay you no attention, and just let your form sit around, they won't do that with the Department of Labor. See, there's a whole different process that they're going to answer to. So this is why I recommend eComp. And this is why I say, if you go to the eComp website, there's a form there. There's a CA-1, and then they ask you, is this CA-1 for COVID? So the point I'm making there is the Department of Labor is making this streamlined and very simple for you. So for anyone to tell you that that's not how it's done, all you have to do is visit the website. Now, on that site, you'll understand that it's set up in that manner. I'm going to give you a little bit of what I believe. It's set up in that manner because right now that is the only way to compensate federal and postal employees should they contract COVID. There is no more Families First. There is no more money in the emergency federal employees. This is the only way that I know of that you're going to get compensated should you contract COVID at work. Now, the post office tells you they do contact tracing. But you and I both know that's not happening. And the reason that's not happening is if they do contact tracing, then they're responsible for providing you with the administrative leave to quarantine. And they don't even want you to be out of work should you have a positive COVID test. You know they're not going to try to pay for you to be out of work just to quarantine. So you have to take advantage of what is given to you. And in this case, it is a website from the Department of Labor that tells you what you should do. And it helps you get it done and cuts out the whole middle piece of forms getting lost that supervisor's not wanting to fill out the form for you. Now, Tom, would you explain to them that one of the differences why the Department of Labor now accepts COVID? Because it wasn't always like that.
Yeah, at the beginning of COVID, basically what was happening is OWCP was still adjudicating the claims that they the same way they would if you had any other type of injury. Okay, COVID being what it is, it's nearly impossible to prove, hey, I got it from this one person, or I got it from this one stop, or I picked it up off a mailbox somehow, okay? And OWCP really listened to that, and they kind of said, we got our frontline workers out there. I mean, every federal employee is an essential worker. All the mail still had to get delivered during that initial quarantine, and it was becoming increasingly difficult for people to go out and deliver mail when they knew that the government didn't have their back. When Biden came in, to office and signed the ARPA Act, that made it much, much easier. Now, here's something that people still fail on, actually. Filing a CA-1 for COVID is super, super easy. You do have to go on to ecomp.dol.gov. Okay, ecomp.dol.gov is the government's website. Like I told you a minute ago, you sign up and log in and file your CA-1 for COVID there. You can still do that with your supervisor. However, this is a much better way of doing that. When you file your claim on eComp, you still have to provide either a negative test or a report from a doctor stating that you picked up COVID and it was likely due to work. If you don't do that, they won't approve your claim. Okay. The thing to remember now is that you don't have to prove exactly where you got the COVID from in order for your claim to get approved. Okay. If someone's telling you that, they're misinformed or lying or just straight wrong. Okay.
Hey, Tom,
the important thing is, sure.
You need a positive test, correct?
I'm sorry?
You need a positive test.
Yes. Yes. Sorry about that. You need a positive test. So you do need to get tested, you need to be, prove that you're positive. So you have the positive test, and then a doctor's note stating that you picked up COVID from your required work duties on the time frame that you got COVID. Okay, so yes, you do need a positive test. I made a mistake on that. Sorry. Thank you for correcting me. But absolutely, it's very, very easy to get these cases accepted now more than ever. The government has actually listened and responded, and so they. Now that the ARPA Act has been signed and ratified, it's no longer a benefit to you. It's your right to have this. This is yours. If you got COVID and you've been working, yes, this is your right to get covered by Federal Employment Compensation Act.
Now, Tom has given us the Federal Act, and because I work in the post office, I find it disturbing. The managers that work in the post office that have no idea of how to process your papers. Now, let me tell you something. Even if you go through eComp, management is still trying not to pay employees. And I think that's just awful. I really do. You have a government that is saying if you are a federal or postal employee and you contract COVID, they've relaxed the standards as far as where you caught it, and they concentrate more on what they consider you to be. Are you a federal employee? Are you a postal employee? So what they're saying is if you work for the post office and you contract COVID, now, again, nobody can tell exactly where they contracted it. Nobody, that hasn't been proven yet, but the government is saying if you work in this industry, then we're going to accept it as, that's where you contracted it and you're going to be covered under FICA. And for the life of me, I cannot, I try hard. I really do. I try real hard to understand why the Postal Service would want to hinder those payments. You have managers in the line of work that I'm in who don't even know how to put employees pay in for workers' comp. And what they justify that with is they're waiting to see if your claim is accepted or not. And if there are any managers who listen to this podcast, please understand when that employee, and Tom, please correct me if I'm not correct, if I'm mistaken, when that employee files that CA-1, the next 3 days they're required to use their own leave. And on the fourth day, continuation of pay kicks in. Now, that's why we call it continuation of pay, and I'm never going to get tired of saying that. But managers in the Postal Service are now taking it upon themselves not to put you in for that code 071 in the post office, which is continuation of pay. They're trying to wait and see if your claim is accepted, and that is not how the process goes. But I got to tell you, if for whatever reason it's not accepted, you know they want their money back and they want all of it back. But if you are filing a CA-1 with a positive COVID test, I cannot see that being denied by the Department of Labor. Can you, Tom?
No. In fact, for properly filed cases, we haven't seen any denials on that so far.
So, audience, Tom works with federal injury centers. If you need to contact them, if you are not familiar with who they are, and I can't believe that, two of the owners, Jeannie and Chris, they host a Wednesday night OWCP chat. And looking at the thousands of people who view that chat, I know you're familiar with them. Contact them. But please stop allowing postal management to convince you that you are not entitled to this benefit. That I need you to do that.
I just want to jump in and say something, Kenny, if that's all right. The thing, when you guys don't file your claim, you just don't get the benefit for what you worked for. My question is this, is if you went to work this week and let's just say you worked 40 hours, would you be okay with somebody saying, hey, we're just going to pay you 30 hours? No one would do that, right? When you contract COVID and it is now your right to file through the Federal Employment Compensation Act and you don't do that, essentially what you're saying is I'd rather get paid less hours, okay? We haven't seen these COVID cases get denied except for, and this is by earlier I said, a properly filed case. A properly filed case, you know, you got to fill out your CA-1. You could, in box 15, you can check off that you want continuation of pay. I would do it all through eComp. You have to have a positive test. You have to have proof of a positive test and a doctor's note. When you do that, it's a very, very simple process. Very, very simple. When you do that, your claim will get accepted. And then you can file for time that you had to take off due to COVID for your quarantine. When you don't file, you're throwing your own money out the window, and you shouldn't do that.
And you got to remember, folks, we're talking about federal or postal employees who have a positive COVID test. So some people think that this is a game. Some people think that it's a get over. But again, we're talking about somebody who's got a positive COVID test. So if the government set up a special CA-1 circumstance for federal or postal employees who contract COVID, how can you allow anyone to convince you that this is not how the process goes? I have a hard time digesting that. And if you need the assistance, it's there for you. But you have to be diligent as you go ahead and claim what is rightfully yours. And the reason I say you have to be diligent is because, again, going back to the industry in which I work, the Postal Service, it seems like every corner we turn, that there's another reason why a manager won't pay an employee continuation of pay. I don't get it, but you have to understand that is your right. And if you allow management to discourage you from what is rightfully yours, then I don't know what to say, because I'm offering you resources. I'm putting this information out on the podcast page. On Tuesday nights, we'll be talking about it with subject matter experts from federal injury centers. I mean, I'm trying to reach out and give you this information through every avenue I possibly can think of. But you have to hold on to it, and you have to use it. And again, if you don't need it, then I'd rather need it and have it than whatever that was.
Have it and not use it versus need it and not have it.
I started off really strong, and I lost my train of thought.
Well,
and you got to use it.
I want to say this one thing about filing any claim. So just to add to the point again, you know, COVID claims with a positive test, an antigen test, and a letter from a doctor, or even just a letter from the doctor saying that you got COVID symptoms, and, you know, elucidating the time frame in which you caught it, this is the easiest claim to get accepted right now and by OWCP under the Federal Employment Compensation Act. You know, so if you're not filing for these because a supervisor is saying X, Y, and Z, go around the supervisor. If you flat out don't want to use ecomp.dol.gov, which is the best way to file any claim right now, if you don't want to do that, then you have another mechanism, okay, to circumvent the supervisor, postmaster, whoever, and that's going directly to human resources, okay? Or approach your supervisor with a union steward or union official. Make them listen to you. If they're saying, and you're going back and forth, and you're saying, no, I learned that this is the way to do it, and they're saying something to the effect of, no, that's not how we do it, then just go around them. Go around them, okay? One of the things that people don't realize is that, you know, it's one thing to have a bad supervisor, but it's one thing to have a supervisor that's simply not trained in what to do. And unfortunately, they just don't have the training program to go out to supervisors right now to teach them everything they need to do to be an effective supervisor. And one of those things is filing of workplace injuries. When they don't know the proper information, they actually have to call human resources themselves. So if you're at a stalwart, you're not getting anywhere with a supervisor, just call human resources. They're there for you. Tell them what the situation is. You need to file a claim, and your supervisor has no idea what to do. That'll help you on the local level. To get around all that, just use ecompdol.gov, and that'll take care of that.
Hey, Tom, I got another situation I'd like to ask
sure.
you about. Employees who have contracted COVID, let's say last month, and I'm trying to use a time frame within 45 days continuation of pay, and they now file their CA-1. They're already recovered, but they use their own leave. Is it possible for them to recoup that?
Yes, absolutely. So you still need to go ahead and file your CA-1 either through eComp or if you want to, with your supervisor. Okay, but once your case is approved, then you would simply fill out a CA-7. And by the way, CA-7 forms are kind of tricky to fill out. A lot of people don't know how to do that. I've actually made a video taking you through every box on the CA-1. If you can't – it's CA-7. If you can't fill out the CA-7 by watching my video, then you just don't want to fill it out, okay? You can find that video at federalinjurycenters.com. Go to the videos page, and then it's the third video down, how to fill in your CA-7. I have a video there for you, how to fill out your CA-1, how to fill out your CA-2, and how to fill out your CA-7, 7A, 7B, and direct deposit form. So if you're not sure of what to do, go to Federal Injury Centers. We've got the videos there for you. So in the case that you're talking about, they have used their own time. They have recovered. They're already back at work. Once they get the approval letter, all they have to do is fill out a CA-7 for the time that they were off, and they'll also have to fill out a leave buyback, which is a CA-7B, to get their time back. I explain how to do all of this in detail on the video, so I won't bore you with everything right now, but it's very, very simple. As soon as your case is approved, you fill out a CA-7 and a 7B, and you get your hours back.
So for all those employees who instant message me as far as they are now recovered from COVID, but they weren't aware of the CA-1 process, understand that you can still file the CA-1. And just as Tom said, once that's accepted, now you can use the federal dollars that are available to you instead of using your own leave. I mean, I don't see where that don't make a whole bunch of sense. If you already recovered and you didn't file a CA-1, you can go back and still get the leave that you use, your personal leave, in exchange for OWCP time.
Exactly.
So, again, here we have the federal government trying to do a thing to help federal employees, but that old managerial roadblock keeps rearing its head. But we have to understand that if you know it is your right, then it doesn't matter how many roadblocks come in front of you. We have to learn to navigate around them so that you can get what is rightfully yours. Now, unfortunately, we have to navigate around them, because you would think that if the federal government says this is what we're going to do for federal employees, that the post office in particular would say, okay. Well, even with the EFEL leave, the Emergency Federal Employees Leave, post office added another bunch of guidelines to it that were not necessary, but intended to not pay you from funds that were set aside for you. So you have to hear this information. Again, you have to digest this information. You got to tell your friends about this information, because if these programs are being put in place to assist you, then why should you suffer because you won't take advantage of what's being an opportunity that's being presented for you? And that opportunity is simply the federal government attempting to compensate you should you contract COVID and you are a federal or postal employee. So if nothing else, we learned or we heard tonight that, yes, it is real. You can file CA-1s for COVID. Yes, it is real that it's important that you prove that you were a federal or postal employee. Yes, it's real that the Department of Labor has streamlined the process to make it simpler for you. So if you understand this, and again, do more research if you want to, and the best place I would direct you to go to do research would be the federal injury centers, because they've got videos and they break it down simple for you, or you can go directly to the Department of Labor's website. But again, I know I said this before, but I'm going to say it again. Stop allowing postal management, through their lack of knowledge, to deter you from pursuing benefits that are available to you. So understanding that that's what's happening with the CA-1 for COVID, if you are in need of it, take advantage of it. And I recommend strongly that you do this process through the Department of Labor's website, ecomp.dol.gov. I'm going to transition from the – oh, you know, before we leave that, I got to ask you a different situation. I ask you a question, Tom. I'm working with a young lady out of state, not in Ohio, and for some reason – she submitted her claim through Department of Labor website, and she received something I've not seen, and it's administratively closed. Have you ever seen a case like that? And what are some of the things that they need to do to get that corrected?
Okay. So, yes.
The person has a positive test for COVID, and they're filing a CA-1 for COVID, but it came back administratively closed.
Sure. In a case like that, generally what ends up happening is the government, and by the way, COVID cases are included in this right now, okay? COVID cases are the easiest case to get accepted with for a CA-1 at this time, okay? When you have an administrative closure, it's usually because enough evidence has not been submitted to support that there was an injury, okay? So the government will basically say, we haven't received anything, and we're shutting this down. Or it's an injury that is very, very basic, like a toe stub. All right, this happens frequently. Someone will stub their toe; they'll have damage to their nail, and the government is waiting to. They're basically saying, It's not that really big of an injury. It's probably going to go away in a couple of weeks. If this thing hits $1,500 in bills, then we'll put a fully develop the case. But up until that point, we're just going to open it and look for the evidence that's needed to fully open the case at some point. When they administratively close it, it's either saying, okay, we're just going to wait until $1,500 comes through and then do a full development, or the injured worker hasn't supplied a positive COVID test or a letter from a doctor basically saying, hey, they in fact had COVID during this time period. To reverse that, it could very, very easily just be you submit that information. On a specific level, you know, what's happening with this specific denial for the person that you're referencing, I would want to read their documents just to make sure I'm giving, you know, proper information for their case, and I'm not saying anything erroneous or out of line, but generally that's how it works.
Okay, because, you know, I've been dealing with department, I have been dealing with Department of Labor for some time, and I just never seen that administratively closed come back like that. But
yeah, you will see it periodically, and I'll tell you, so even though Chris is not on the call tonight, he just texted me something and said, hey, Tom, let Kenny know that you guys are doing a great job. We're absolutely loving it. We miss you guys out here, but we're going to hook up with you guys next time. And OWCP, and this is something else he added, OWCP is automatically reviewing COVID cases, ones that have been previously denied. If that's what's happened to you, I would call your claims examiner and see if you can be in that re-review process.
So to the audience, that just gives you a further assurance that this is for real. They're even going back reviewing cases because the government is saying if you are a federal postal employee and there was a period after the Federal Employees Leave Act dollars were gone, if you fall into that category of being a federal postal employee, that we're still going to try to take care of you. Now, that's the government saying that, and we're running into problems at our employment level. The money is available. The government says, come and get it. I mean, again, if you qualify for it, but in my case, the postal office is saying, no, we want more evidence. We want more evidence. And again, it just goes to show that doesn't matter how hard you work for the organization, they just refuse to educate themselves properly on rules and regulations that are in place. And in this case, I'm talking about Office of Workers' Compensation, those rules and regulations that are in place to help you enjoy a better work life. They refuse to learn it. And everything is pushed off with either I don't know, I don't care. And the bottom line is, employees are suffering, and you got to educate yourself so the suffering stops. But I want to transition over to another CA form that I've had quite a few conversations this week about, and that's that CA-2. Now, before I turn this over to you, Tom, every time I talk to somebody about a CA-2, they tell me, I don't know, Ken. That don't sound right. Well, listen, if you think for a second that I'm going to get on a podcast or even whisper in your ear something that's just wrong, that I know is wrong, that's never going to happen. When we talk about this CA-2, we talk about pre-existing conditions that got exacerbated because of your current work conditions. And listen to me, you can submit that the Department of Labor, they're going to review it, and then they're going to make a decision on it, and that decision might be because you had that condition and it got worse because of your current employment, that they accept that as an on-the-job injury, and that means you're going to be covered for that injury as long as you work. Could you add a little something to that CA-2 for me, Tom?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, CA-2 is highly, highly underutilized by federal employees that are experiencing any type of pain at work, especially in the case of a pre-existing condition. So here's a real basic example I like to use. Let's say you're hired as a letter carrier, or at any position in the post office, really, and you're hired, and on the day of your interview and on day one that you start your job, you've got two broken legs. They can see that. Everybody knows that you joined the post office with broken legs, okay? If you're out doing your route, if you're out walking in the building, if you're just performing the normal duties of your job, and your legs start to bother you, are made worse in any way, shape, or form, that's covered by OWCP. You don't have to believe me or Kenny. You can go on the Federal Employment Compensation Act Part 2 and read that there for yourself. Every pre-existing condition, if it's made worse in any way, shape, or form by the work that you're doing, is covered. And it's covered until your case is either closed or you die. This is a lifelong benefit program. If your work is causing you to be in pain and you think it's just normal wear and tear, hey, I've been walking X amount of miles a day for, you know, 20 years. It's not, it is wear and tear, but it's wear, it's torn and worn on you, which means that you paid with your body to do your job, okay? The government states that if you were in pain, if you had a pre-existing condition that is now made worse, that this is covered by the Federal Employment Compensation Act. And so many people just try and tough it out. And I want to tell you something. A guy from Boston called me last week, and he said, and by the way, when he came into our office, he was on the just about to retire, and he could not bend down past the 90 degree. All he wanted to do was have a good retirement. And he said, you know, I've been dealing with this because I didn't want to be a baby. People were calling me, hey, this happens to everybody. You know, they're calling him kind of weak and baby for it. Well, he got his case open and accepted, was able to get the surgery that he needed in order to correct the issue. And he called me last week in tears because not only can he bend his legs with full range of motion at this time, he got a schedule award for his injuries of $181,000. That's nothing to sneeze at. And that's your right. The government basically said, because you wore your knees out for us, yes, here's the compensation that you're owed. And when you don't file that claim, you're basically saying, I gave my body up literally for my agency and just got my paycheck. When they're willing to say, yes, we're willing to give you your paycheck for the work, but we're also willing to pay you for the damage that's done to your body. Don't throw that away.
And again, if it's your right, it's your right. And let me say, a lot of times people mistake the information and the manner in which it's being presented to you as we're anti-postal. I'm not. I think they do a lot more wrong than they will ever do right. But it's not anti-postal jargon that you're hearing. What you're hearing is you happen to work for the federal government or the postal service. And with that job comes a host of benefits that you need to be aware of. And if you work for a job that says, I will accept you with whatever pre-existing conditions you had from your former life, but now that those conditions have gotten worse because you work here now, now again, all this has got to be proven through the Department of Labor, but you can now file for compensation under that. Now, as I like to tell you, and you don't really like to believe me, when you understand the rules and regulations that govern your job, you got a pretty good job, folks. But if you continue to allow those who do no studying to just tell you that that's not how it is, then you're going to be in that place that you dread. As soon as you clock in, you want to go home. So the choice is yours. You can make that job a lot better than what it is. And it's just by coming into the knowledge of some of the things that are put in place to help you have a quality work life.
Ken, let me tell you this quickly. This is going to be important for your people to know, okay? When you're filing a CA-2 claim, you can also do it on eComp, by the way. Okay, that's the best way to file it, all right? The reason why we keep saying it to you is because it's the best way. We want you to use the best way so you have the best results, okay? But when you file a CA-2 for a pre-existing condition, here's one way that I can prove to you quickly that the government covers it. When you file a CA-2 claim, you're required to put, we call it a narrative. It's really an in-depth explanation as to how you got the injury, Okay. You just explain to them, this is what I did that caused the injury. The government has a form called CA-35. The CA-35 has forms all the way A through G, okay? And CA-35H is specifically for carpal tunnel syndrome, okay? A lot of people contract carpal tunnel syndrome from the work they do. One of the questions that asks you on there is to inform the government of every job that you've had has required the use of your wrist, which is nearly everything, right? And the reason why they ask you that is because they want to see that you've had other jobs that could have caused this injury. Once they see that, yes, they now have to allow you to file your claim for a pre-existing condition because that's what the Federal Employment Compensation Act says that they have to do. So when you stay on there, hey, actually, this is actually something that's happened before. We had a clerk that was working at the post office. She previously worked as a hairdresser for 10 years. She said, should I put this information down? Do you think it would hurt my case? I said, actually, it's the opposite. So you always want to be truthful and put all the information down that they're asking. That's number one. Number two, this is going to help you prove that you had carpal tunnel syndrome. And she said, oh, okay, great. So on their own forms, they're asking, hey, did you have a pre-existing condition that might have led to this? And then the job made it worse. They are looking for this so they can approve your claim. We actually had a claims examiner tell us one day, it's actually easier for us to approve your claim than it is to deny it. We want to. It's less work for us. They just need all the components there, which is a proper narrative report and filling out the questionnaires that they send in response to your receiving your CA-2. So the government is actually on your side for this. You just have to say, I'm going to take all my rights, and I'm going to apply for this.
And if they're your rights, then you're not taking advantage of a system. The system is put in place for you. Hey, hold on 1 second before we go any further. We've got a caller here. Let me see if she'd like to have something, if they would like to have something to say. Hello, caller. How are you doing from 904? Would you like to have any words today? Okay, I'm going to take that as a no. Yeah, but every Tuesday night, I'm going to definitely be with the Federal Injury Centers and their representatives as we try to continue to bring you knowledge that's going to help you. And it sounds crazy. I mean, absolutely crazy that I have to say to you, most of the knowledge that you hear on this podcast, most of the knowledge that you hear on the OWCP Wednesday night chat, you're not going to hear that knowledge at work. You're not going to hear it. So when you come to work armed with this information, don't have yourself in a posture of expectancy thinking that the supervisor is going to understand what you're talking about because they're just not trained for that. So, but if you know what you know and you've done your research and you understand that these rights are afforded to you, then you have to be tenacious and go get them. You cannot let somebody talk you out of what is rightfully yours. And if we're talking CA-1s for COVID or if we're talking CA-2s for pre-existing conditions that became worse since you became employed at the post office, if that's your right, you're not taking advantage of a system. You are using a system that's in place to assist you. And anytime you get confused, anytime you have forms in front of you that you're not sure of what to do, again, here's the power resource for you, Federal Injury Centers. You contact them, and you'll have to contact no one else. Hey, Tom, where are your offices in around the Columbus area?
So the office is right in Westerville. It's just a couple miles right off the highway. It's very, very easy to get to, actually. You know, when you call the office, if you go to the website and then call the office, you're going to talk to Amy, okay? Amy is my right-hand man at the office. She's going to get everything started. She'll collect your documents and whatnot and then get you in with me to get started at the office.
So let me ask you a question. If someone is filing a CA1 for COVID, is that something that they should contact your office about?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead and fill out your CA1. If you want to call the office, we're going to tell you the same exact thing, but let's just say you forget, you know, feel free to call the office. And yeah, we can help you with that process for sure. This is actually so easy right now that even your primary care doctor may be able to help you with this. They literally just have to say you had a positive COVID test. You were at work when you contracted it. They firmly believe that it was contracted while at work. State the dates that you were believed to have contracted COVID in, and then any other, you know, pertinent information that they might put on there for, you know, vitals and stuff like that, and then send it in. However, if you want us to do all this for you, we'd be more than happy to. Just reach out to us, give us a call. You can find all our information on federalinjurycenters.com under the locations tab. Go down to Ohio, and we have an office in Cleveland and Westerville. I'm specifically out of the Westerville one, and you can give us a call, and we'll help you out. No problem.
So again, offering you resources so you can stop allowing people to tell you that that's not how the process works. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes it is what it looks like it is. And in this case, it looks like the federal government is trying to make provisions for federal and postal employees who contract COVID while employed. They're trying to make provisions to compensate you so that the quality of your life doesn't deteriorate because you contracted COVID.
Yeah, this is one of the first times that I've actually seen the government make it super, super easy for their employees to get the help that they need. I've never seen it like this. The government, have you ever seen it like this where the government has said, oh, we have a problem, we're going to respond to it pretty quickly? I haven't, and they've made it very, very easy for you to get your rights. I don't see why you would want to go ahead and forego them.
Hey, folks, tell a friend that there's a podcast on Tuesday night, and there's an OWCP chat on Wednesday night that's going to inform you. It's going to give you information. It's going to give you what you need should you contract COVID or any other injury at work. You know, a lot of people on Facebook don't seem to grasp the concept of a CA1 for COVID because they're so used to the CA1 usually resulting in some blood being spilled. Somebody, you know, got run by a jackknife. You know, I mean, they're used to the more serious on a scale of accidents associated with a CA1. But I'm telling you, Department of Labor says COVID is now covered under a CA1. And I'm going to keep telling you because until I can go to work and I stop finding out that people are out of work with COVID and have not filed CA1s. So until I'm sure that that message is reached every post employee I can, I'm going to keep putting this in front of you because it's that important. And again, if you are out of work and you don't need to be compensated, then that's the choice you make. But it doesn't matter how much money you have, some more money is always better.
So, well, it's not some more money. It's just your money. Your money is always better.
All your money. Okay. All right.
Yep.
Instead of spending your leave, use your federal dollars that have been made afforded to you, that are available to you. And you know, I don't want to get on a tangent with the post office, but you know, I keep hearing they don't want to pay. They don't want to pay whatever, but I'm gonna step out there and say, last year when EFL came out, that there was a couple of billion dollars given to the post office by the Treasury Department, and they were instructed if that money is used for COVID related issues, that's a non-repayable loan. So when you have, I'm sure they took the money, But the way they make employees scrimp and scramble for compensation during these COVID times, I don't know what they did with the money, but they sure got that money from the Department of Treasury. So our company has money for COVID, but for whatever reason, the decision is being made not to use it. And that says a lot about a company who tries to send the image that they care for you. But listen, you've got federal injury centers standing by. With this kind of a resource or this kind of a reference, there is no reason for you to walk around not knowing when it comes to injury compensation. Because what you don't want to look up and research yourself, I know you can dial that number on the phone and talk to one of the subject matter experts there, and they're going to give you the condensed version of it. But not knowing should be something of the past.
Absolutely. I mean, we're here to answer any question you can launch at us, and if we can't answer it, we're going to get you over to the people that can. Meaning, if you need some sort of extra help outside of what we provide, we'll get you over to those folks. We're going to help everybody who can and get those people in front of the right people that they need for the ones that we can't. Can I say one more thing, Kenny, about when a supervisor, a postmaster, anyone in management says the post office doesn't want to pay X, Y, and Z for your injury, who cares what that person says? And here's the reason why. OWCP decides what gets paid. Okay? If your supervisor says, oh, they're not going to pay you for that, who's they, first of all? If they're talking about somebody at the post office, that's irrelevant, or any federal agency. OWCP decides what gets paid and what doesn't. So if somebody's telling you they're not going to pay for that, they're not going to help you, that's OWCP's decision, not the agency's decision. Your agency will controvert continuation of pay and maybe even your claim, but who cares? If you have a legitimate claim, then who cares? The truth will come out, and OWCP with the right documentation will open your claim. So if someone's saying to you, the post office doesn't want to pay for that, no problem. Go directly to OWCP, file your claim. OWCP is the one who says who gets paid.
And that's so important to remember. And that department is bigger than the Postal Service. just in case you were wondering how they fit in the hierarchy. But listen.
Yeah, exactly.
I thank you for joining Tom and myself on the Tuesday night sick call. Every Tuesday night, 7 p.m., I'm going to be in front of you trying to bring you information pertaining to Office of Workers' Compensation, Department of Labor, information that is going to be useful for you should you sustain an injury at work. Some of the topics that's going to be coming up on the upcoming shows are going to be topics such as, can I get fired if I got hurt at work? Everybody knows if you work for the post office, you think the answer is yes, but you'll be surprised. Topics such as, what do I do if my supervisor won't take my claim? What happens if I get hurt at work and I think I'm okay, but next week I begin to get bruised or I feel pain? Is it too late for me to file now? So we're going to try to keep you really, really fed up or read up, excuse me, instead of fed up, read up on your rights when it comes to injuries at work. Any closing remarks, Tom?
Listen, file your claims on ecomp.dol.com. That is the thing to take away. Just it circumvents the supervisor, and I just want to say thank you very much for having me again on again tonight, Kenny.
Hey, every Tuesday night you'll get to thank you, man, because we'll be right here, man. All right. Hey, but
sounds
listen,
good.
Remember, it's your right, and if it's your right, then you have a right to it. Good night, and again, tell a phone, tell a friend that the Tuesday night sick call and the Wednesday night OWCP chat is on again. Good night, everyone.